Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Esther, chapter 4. Esther, chapter 4. The courage of Esther is the name of our lesson tonight. Courage. And you think of courage, you think of bravery. Bravery. You think of grit, audacity, guts, nerve. Heart. You think of this young lady named Esther who is going to have to come out of her comfort zone and go before the king unasked for and to stand there wondering what is going to be her future. So Esther chapter 4, begin reading at verse 13. Esther chapter 4 and verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Shall we have a word of prayer? And dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here around the word of God, and we think of Esther, Lord, and her bravery, her courage, Lord, may we stand for thee in such a way. Lord, we pray for the United States of America as a new president has been put into place. We ask, Lord, now that your will would be done in these matters. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. And Esther said, "And if I perish, I perish." You have heard me say in the past that there are worse things than death. One is knowing to do good and doing it not. And we get that from the book of James chapter 4, verse 17. Knowing to do good, knowing what the right thing is and not doing it. Mordecai has challenged Esther by saying to her, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And the same challenge is given to each and every one of us, that we are here for a purpose, a distinct purpose. And we need to make sure that we are where the Lord wants us. So Esther chapter 5, the courage of Esther. And let it begin. Now, it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom." In the mid-1990s, and can you remember the mid-1990s? In the mid-1990s, the following words were penned. Quote, "In recent years, the news media have had a heyday reporting the questionable and usually illegal behavior of well-known people, including professional athletes, politicians, preachers, and presidents of financial institutions, and even royalty. From Watergate to Irangate to Pearlygate, the investigative reporters have been kept busy digging up news to satisfy the public's insatiable appetite for scandal. Do you think that's right, that we have this desire for scandal? The writer continued, if all this journalistic activity accomplished nothing else, it certainly underscored the significance of the biblical warning, be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers 32:23, unquote. When we ponder the evil that Haman wished to perpetrate on the Jewish people, we think of Psalm 7. Would you please keep your place here? Turn back a couple of books to the book of Psalm, 7th Psalm, and we'll begin reading at verse 14. And sometimes we have to wonder, why do bad people succeed? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered why someone who is rotten to the core seems to get away with everything? That they seem to become richer and richer. There just seems to be no end to their nastiness, and yet they succeed. But let's read what it says here in the book of Psalms, in the 7th Psalm, chapter 7, verse 14. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. You know, we think of Haman, and we know the end of the story because he's going to have it all fall on him. But when we're going through the difficult times, we sometimes wonder, why is it that they seem to be succeeding? And have you ever wondered, Lord, couldn't you have done something about this? Couldn't you have had his tongue fall out? Couldn't you have made it so he was a leper and nobody wanted to be around him? Why, Lord, have you allowed this? And yet we have to remember that we are free moral agents. We have to make the choice to do right or do wrong, and Haman chose to do wrong. But four things were against Haman. Four things. Number one, divine sovereignty, which we will cover tonight. The Lord is going to be against him because he is against the Jews. And that's never a good position to be in. False confidence, we'll find in verses 6 through 9a. We'll do that next week. False confidence. You know, sometimes we can have false confidence. Pride. Now, none of us have wrong pride, do we? Do you think there's good pride and wrong pride? Well, he had the wrong type of pride, verses 10 through 12. And then malice, 9b in verses 13 and 14. And we'll be looking at these over the next couple of weeks. But divine sovereignty, false confidence, pride, and malice. So number one, divine sovereignty. Verse 1, now it came to pass. It came to pass. Esther put on her royal apparel. Now, I didn't grow up with sisters. And I had no daughters. And in some ways, I'm sure I missed out on some things. But I have granddaughters. And one thing I've noticed about granddaughters, they like putting on clothes that make them look like princesses or queens. And maybe some of you ladies did that when you were younger. And here we find Esther put on her royal apparel. You think it looked really nice? Do you think it fit her to the T? Do you think she looked, when she walked down the hallway towards where the king was, everybody stopped and looked. I'm sure she was a very lovely young woman. Esther was concerned whether the king would acknowledge her presence and grant her an audience. Now, we know the story here that you could walk into where the king was, but if he didn't call for you, you better hope he was in a good mood and that he would hold out his golden scepter. If he did not, it would mean her immediate execution, and she knew how unpredictable were his moods. Now, it's a terrible thing when the leader is a moody person. Have you ever known somebody that you had to be around them for a few minutes before you realized what mood they were in? I've known people like that. That when they walked into the room, you had to wait to see who they were that day. Because some days they were pretty nice. And other days they were moody and, well, we're not going to go any further than that. The Jews had been fasting and praying for 3 days, asking God to intervene and save them from destruction. You know what I'm trying to say, but it won't come out. And it was now time for Esther to act. It was time for her to put her thoughts into actions. Many an author has commented on Esther's great act of faith. And some have wondered why her name is not listed with the saints found mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm one of them. I don't know why her name's not there. Because she showed great faith on that particular day. May we comment that it was not enough for the Jews to pray and have faith that God would save them. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't enough that they prayed. And it wasn't enough that they had faith. Somebody had to act. Somebody had to do it. For faith without works is dead. James chapter 2, verse 20. It wouldn't have mattered if Esther prayed and fasted for 4 or 5 or 6 days. If she didn't do something, it would have all been in vain. Esther was not working on the basis of blind faith. For she knew that God had assured the Jews that he would deal with their enemies. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." I am sure that Esther had heard that somewhere along her life. That when she had gone to the synagogue and when she had listened to Mordecai talk or the other Jewish leader, she had heard those very words that I've just read to you. Though not in English. She also knew that the God of Israel was a forgiving God. Now, don't you like the fact that he's a forgiving God? Are you a forgiving person? You know, sometimes it's hard to forgive, isn't it? Sometimes we think we have a right to say, well, I'm not going to forgive them. They hurt me. Now, to be honest, we've all been hurt at one time or another. It's how we handle it. It's the attitude that comes our way. But Israel has a forgiving God who will hear his people when they humble themselves and when they pray. And we read the well-known verse, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." 2 Chronicles 7:14. When will he do this? When will he heal? And when will he bring about the healing of the land? When people pray and humble themselves and what? Turn from evil. See, it's one thing to pray. It's another thing to humble ourselves. But if we haven't turned from our wicked ways, God isn't going to answer our prayers. And that's a scary thought. Can I say this? She would have been able to quote 2 Chronicles 7:14. Because she would have had that writing. It's good to know the scriptures. It's good to know the scriptures. Esther also knew that a remnant of her people had returned to their land and were building the temple or rebuilding the temple. Surely it was not God's plan that they should perish and their work would come to a stop. Key thought. Unlike Esther, when we come to the throne of grace, we do not have to wonder what our Heavenly Father thinks about us. He welcomes us. He desires for us to come to the throne of grace. He loves us and cares for us. Not like Ahasuerus, who this day may think you're fine and another day, get out of my sight. One commentator writes, one of the greatest needs in the church today is for intercessors who will pray faithfully for a church that desperately needs revival, unquote. Now, that commentator was not necessarily talking about the Covenant Baptist Church, but we need people to pray that the Covenant Baptist Church will see revival. Don't you think we should have revival? Wouldn't it be great if people had a great desire to hear the Word of God? I think it'd be marvelous. She stood in the inner court of the king's house, waiting to be seen. Now, in your mind's eye, see that. The king is over here on the royal throne. She has come in one of the doors that leads into the court. How long did she stand there before the king noticed her? You know, did somebody look over and see her and take in their breath? You know, did someone think, oh no, she's not on the schedule? And it was so. Notice, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, there she is. Do you see her? She's over here against the wall. She isn't trying to be seen in some spectacular way. She is just standing over here watching the king. And then underline these words in your Bible. She obtained favor in his sight. He saw her, and she obtained favor in his sight. He, the king, held out to Esther the golden scepter. Esther drew near and touched the top of it. Now, in your mind's eye, is her heart beating really fast? In your mind's eye, is she waiting for him to reach out that golden scepter? Is there any hesitation? Does he make her wait? Has everyone there in the courthouse stop breathing, because this is the queen? And what did he do to Vashti? Sent her away. So it's not like, you know, just because you're queen today that means you're going to be queen tomorrow. In verse 2, the king officially recognized his queen. And in verse 3, he invited her to share her petition. You ever gone to the doctor's? And you had a list of things you were going to ask him or her. And he comes in or she comes in, and maybe there's someone with him. You know, a lot of doctors now have someone pushing a computer on a cart, and they're writing down everything that's being said and everything that's going on, because he's wanting proof of what he's done. And you've got questions, and he starts asking you questions, and you're wanting to ask him questions, and he's going a mile a minute, and you're wondering, are you listening to me? Do you ever feel that way? How many of you ever wondered if your barber listened to you? The person that was cutting your hair. And after they were done and you looked in the mirror and you said, that's not what I asked for. Yeah. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. It is the obligation of every Bible-believing Christian to pray for the President of the United States of America. Okay? It is your obligation, because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And we need to pray for our new president and new vice president, because there's a very good chance she will be our president. Because how long will Mr. Biden, President Biden, last? Well, you don't know. Did you notice it came out today in the news saying that he's having health issues? They didn't tell you this before, but the very day he's been named president, they're coming out and saying he's having health issues. I find that interesting. Then said the king unto her in verse 3, what will thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? Now, can you imagine if you have been invited to the White House and the President of the United States says to you, what do you think we should do? Wouldn't that be interesting? What if our governor invited you over to Lansing? Or better yet, when she goes to Mackinac Island, because isn't there a mansion on Mackinac Island? Wouldn't it be interesting if she invited you there? And once there, she says, what do you think? Well, I think all the restaurants should be opened again. Yeah. You know, we could have responses back and forth. Now, chances are she's not going to invite you to Mackinac Island any more than any of us are going to be invited to the White House. But the queen is being asked by the king, what is it that you want? Because he knew that she didn't just happen into that room. He knew that she was risking her life to come and talk to him. And I doubt it was because she wanted to change the furniture in her own apartment. Right? I don't think she had some issues about, you know, we need to have more meals with certain people. There's something on her mind. Something's there. May we note that Haman is not at the royal house at this time. He's not there. But he's going to be called, and he's going to be all excited about it. He's going to be excited that he is going to be invited to a banquet that only the king and Esther are at. He's going to feel like he is something special. Well, I would have. I would have felt, wow, this is great. He is probably making sure everything is going to plan concerning the upcoming slaughter of the Jewish people. Now, I still am amazed that Ahasuerus doesn't really know what's going on. Yes, there's this group of people that we're going to annihilate. But the fact is, he doesn't seem to really know what's going on. Let's read verses 4 and 5. And Esther answered, if it seemed good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. So, king, husband, what do you call your husband who's the king? You call him king? You call him Ahasuerus? You have some nickname for him? We don't know, but she says, this is what I want. I want you to come to a banquet that I have prepared for you and Haman. Notice verse 5. Then the king said, cause Haman to come, or to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. Now, the king may be moody, but he's not stupid. He knows there's something on his wife's mind. And we'll get into that next week as to what that's to be. But why did Esther not immediately inform the king about Haman's evil plot? Have you ever wondered that? Why, once he said, what is your request? Why didn't she just start by blurting out what the whole issue was? Well, there are at least four reasons that she doesn't. For one thing, it was not the right time. It was not the right time. The king was not prepared to receive the shocking news that his number one officer was a scoundrel. There was no paper handed to him earlier in the day that says the queen's going to come and this is what she's going to say. This would have caught him off guard. Have you ever been caught off guard? Have you ever been blindsided by someone or someone's? Maybe you've been blamed for something that wasn't your fault whatsoever. In the midst of kingdom business, Ahasuerus might have considered her accusation an act of treason, if not just a piece of palace gossip. So it wasn't the right time. Number two, neither was it the right place for her to interfere. There were no doubt staff serving the king in the throne room, and it would have been a breach of palace etiquette for the queen to make her pleas publicly. The sight of a weeping, pleading woman before the throne might have annoyed the king and made matters worse. Better she should speak to the king in the privacy of her own apartment than in the throne room. She's got a plan. I think the Lord has put this plan in her heart and mind, and she's going to go through with it. The third reason was that Esther wanted Haman, and only Haman, present when she told the king about the highest-ranking officer's evil plot. I mean, she is going against his number one man. This man that he trusted. Do you remember what he gave Haman after they discussed what was going to be done? His ring. In other words, he could make papers and sign them for the king. And so he trusted him. One is written, with womanly intuition, Esther was confident that Haman, caught off guard, would in some way admit his guilt and do something foolish that would anger the king. It turned out that she was right on both accounts, unquote. Number four, one that she didn't realize was coming. An event had happened 4 or 5 years earlier. Maybe you remember the event. Maybe you read it in the paper. There were two men that were going to assassinate the king. Do you remember that? And these two men were found to be guilty, and they were hanged upon a tree. And we find that nothing was done to honor or reward Mordecai. Nothing. And so this is going to take place that very night when the king can't sleep. You ever have a time when you can't sleep? You just think, ah, and you toss and you turn. And if you're the king, you think, well, something should help me, warm milk. Well, if nothing else, let's read about me. And that's what they were going to do. They're going to read him about himself. And, you know, that's not going to be boring enough to put him to sleep. But maybe he's going to think, oh, yeah, I remember that. And so he's going to do something that is going to bring honor to Mordecai and at the same time humiliate Haman. And that's coming. Apparently, the banquet was already prepared. Let me ask you, what does the queen make for the king to eat? Probably whatever he likes, right? Okay, you know there were no Brussels sprouts there. There were no lima beans there, and definitely no peas. None of those things were there. There was no, people like to put sardines on pizza. Any of you ever have a sardine on a pizza? Oh, is it, what did I say? Sardines. I haven't had either one of them. Anchovies or sardines on pizza. Yes. Rudy, I would expect you to like that. Yes. But I guarantee you, whatever it was, it was good. It was good. They didn't scrimp. The banquet is prepared. And the king and Haman are both able and willing to attend. Now you ponder this. The king, I'm sure, has a schedule. There are probably certain men who have come and want an audience with the king, and suddenly the queen says, I want you to come to a banquet. When? Right now. Right now? Right now. You and Haman, come on over. Someone go get Haman and take him over to the queen's apartment. We're going to a banquet. I think it's going to be great. As Warren Wiersbe says, such is the wonder of the providence of God. Amazing what happens in this book. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Esther and her testimony. We thank you for her courage. Lord, I realize that some of us will be put in places that are maybe uncomfortable, but may we stand up for what is right. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.